Ho, ho, ho! It's War with the Mateness. Does that work?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to, because it's probably what I'm going to call this one.
Okay.
Or some sort of weird esoteric reference to something else going on in this episode.
I'll have to do some of them, then.
This is War with a Mate, with me, James.
Me, Andy.
And this is the Christmas extravaganza, which means we haven't played the game, because we don't have time to play the game right now.
Yeah, it's a busy festive season.
It is. It's coming up to Christmas. We've got all sorts going on, but we have managed to siphon off a little slice of time to make sure that you get your weekly dose of us, even around this festive period. I just really hope you're not listening to this when you should be spending time with loved ones or playing with your toys.
Put it on for the family.
Actually, that's a good idea. Let's pivot that round 180. Play this in front of the whole family. This is a perfect thing. You know when Christmas comes around and everyone's sort of full of food and they're all lethargic afterwards? Just stick this on instead of a nice Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Because this will be coming out, this should be around Boxing Day. It won't be ready for Christmas, this one. Christmas is on a Thursday?
Maybe chuck it on when you're hungover from New Year's or something.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. I don't imagine many people will have this one on between Christmas and New Year. Unless you're at work, which I am. I'm working between Christmas
and
New Year.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people work between around Christmas, so...
Are you working between Christmas and New Year?
No, I had some time off so at the end of the year, so...
Lucky bastard.
Yeah.
Every place I've worked, I need to... You need to, like, put your Christmas holidays in quite far in advance, and you only get, like, a select few days that you get to have assigned to you, which means you get, like, a sort of 2 or 3 day window at best, which means I've never really had that joyous moment of being off
for a while
for the remainder of the year.
Yeah.
Which you seem to nail every single year.
Yeah.
You seem to be off from like halfway through December up until the end of the year.
Yeah, it's actually kind of because I should take more holiday and spread it out.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you actually do anything in the middle of the year, or do you just save it all for
save it all, or like go away for a week like we did.
Yes.
But then not use...
The big War with the Mate company trip to Budapest.
Yeah.
Paid for by ourselves. And it was with someone...
Well, you got to spend money to make money.
I don't think... We didn't. Certainly didn't make any money on the Budapest trip. Well, I didn't. I don't know what you were up to.
I slipped away to make some deals.
That just sounds really suspicious. I was... when we were in Budapest, I was propositioned by a taxi driver who tried to sell me drugs on the way back to the hotel. That was confusing. The whole series of events was odd because it was quite late on. I'd went to that club, which was not too far from the hotel, and they had a rock night on, which I was very excited to go to. And I was coming back. It was our last night there. And they pulled up outside the hotel, and I was ready to go in. And this is like 4 a.m. And he turns to me, and he looks at me in the strangest way because he doesn't turn from the front. I was in the back. He doesn't turn from the front and look between the driver and passenger seat. Instead, he turns and looks at me between his seat and the door.
Well, it's better for doing crimes because it's narrow.
If it feels claustrophobic, it's harder for the police to detect.
Despite the fact he's turned so someone could lip read him through the window.
And then he offers me, what he says is, would you like the good stuff? And I was like, this so euphemistic, you've not narrowed down anything. You could be propositioning anything at all. And then he says cocaine, and I go, no, thank you. I would not be interested in that, especially when I've just arrived back at my hotel room at 4 a.m. I'm going to bed. I've got a flight tomorrow. I was up for a good 24, 36 hours from that
after
point, I think.
If you'd done that journey back, which was really grim, also coming down
from a drug intake, that would be
oh my god,
such a negative experience.
Well, the taxis in Budapest, we had a fun few experiences with taxi drivers.
Oh yes,
because there's also the one that catcalled a girl and then looked at us like hey.
And we were just sort of like, no, that's
uncomfortable.
We're not interested in this behavior.
And then another one who was like, have you seen the scenic route? Because we were heading back. It was like hot. Like, and we were like, we don't want to walk. We'll buy it, get a taxi for like a 15-minute journey. And then he was like, oh no, I'll show you the sights. It'll only be like an extra half an hour.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one gets in a taxi for that experience.
We were coming back from... because we'd spend a day at the zoo.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. If anyone's going to Budapest anytime soon, go to the zoo.
It's a great zoo.
It is. Great zoo. A lot of fun. A lot of animals. The elephant there was a real standout. The common Gundy, maybe the best animal that we saw. What a guy. So much aura.
Yeah. We saw a Jebediah, the desert rat.
Yes, we did actually. We saw a desert rat, which at the time I didn't know a whole lot about the desert rats. I'd read like the first fifth of that book that I've now given you. And I was like, oh, desert rat. That was kind of all we knew.
Yeah.
I'd had a good time at the zoo. Our friend did, and you did. But then our friend was just so beaten down by the heat that he popped back to the hotel. We went to the Rune Bar, and it was, I can only describe the conditions as tropical.
They'd like had water spraying because there was a lot of greenery and stuff. I guess also maybe to cool people down, but it was hot enough that it just become like mist.
Yeah.
So it went from just dry heat to jungle heat.
It just made it that much more humid. The air becomes so thick.
Yeah.
So we'd had like, I think maybe two drinks at this Rune Bar that we were going to spend a long time at, and we just decided it's far too hot.
Our friend was going to wait till it got a bit darker and meet us there.
Yeah. And this was like, I think that particular day it was like 42 degrees Celsius. It was the hottest temperatures I've ever experienced. So we were.
Our group aren't great with heat.
No, we're not. I burn immediately. Yeah. I had to constantly lather myself with. I got like aerosolized sunspray. So that was, it was SPF 50. And by some miracle, and I guess over applying of that sun cream, I managed to not get burned. But that was so touch and go. But that's when we got back in the taxi.
Yeah.
And then the guy, that's when he started offering to give us a tour of, is it Heroes Square or Hill?
Yeah, I think it was Hill.
Quarter, it's something
like
that.
On one side, and he was literally going to take us across the river, up this like hill covered in trees with like a shrine at the top that overlooks Budapest, then down past like the palace and stuff, and then loop round and cross the river again. And it was like, sounded like a quite well designed tour.
Yeah,
but you sign up for a tour, you don't.
I guess maybe it is the kind of thing in a city that is so tourist oriented.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you wouldn't get that here. In the UK, you don't go to a city in the UK, hop in a taxi, a black cab, and then they're like, do you want a tour of the city? It's like, no, I don't. I want to go somewhere.
They just try to feel out whether you vote for reform or not.
Yeah, they drop very leading questions, and it's usually quite an uncomfortable experience in a taxi here.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had many pleasant conversations with taxi drivers, especially for some reason during the day. I feel like the taxi conversations in the UK are more inflammatory during the daytime than they are at night. Maybe because at nighttime they're used to people being inebriated and maybe a bit rowdy. Whereas during the daytime, they're just happy to speak their mind, regardless of how unpleasant that mind is. There's misogynistic comments, there's racist comments, just all around an unpleasant journey. I've taken to now putting my headphones in when I get in taxis a lot of the time, which unfortunately means sometimes I'm being rude to a polite person, probably. But I also don't really want to take the risk of engaging in a conversation where...
Should definitely be the default to be like, I'm not going to talk, and then there's like a button if you're open to chatting.
You know what they need to bring back? You know the screens between the
From COVID?
No, well, they came around in COVID again, but you know the ones...
from like black cabs?
Yeah, I'm thinking of like a limo. I think that's what I'm thinking of. I should be getting more limos. That's today's common ground. I should get more limos.
Never got the appeal of a limo.
Well, I was watching Die Hard last night, and there's at the start of the film, Bruce Willis gets in a limo, and he sat in the front. And I just thought, like, that's a very funny thing to do, because the vibe of a limo, obviously, you make the use of the space. But even then, in the back, it's like, you definitely need company in a limo. For it to be fun.
Yeah, there might be nowhere lonelier than being one guy in a limo.
The loneliest man in the world. It's not the guy who was on the International Space Station when it went around the Earth. It's actually someone sat in the back of a limo.
Anyone who's isolated themselves in such a way that they're getting solo limo rides.
Because the only time that is at all beneficial is when you step out the limo at the destination.
But if you step out by yourself, it's like, what the hell happened in there? Why is there not more people coming out?
Well, as long as people don't read into it too much, then you look cool. If you just get out and people are like, oh, this guy just got out his limo, just solo. But if they do think about what that journey must have been like, it becomes a much more uncomfortable situation. I've never been in a limo, I don't think, ever.
I don't think I have either.
I mean, we're going to get the War with a Mate limo at some point.
Oh, yeah. We'll show up at a live event in a limo. Separate, a limo each.
Oh, that's decadent. I like it. I think I'd probably be airdropped into a live event.
Oh, like the Queen at the Olympics.
Yes, that's it. We would do a... Because I presume it'll be a stadium tour that we're going to do next year.
We'll halo jump onto the stage.
So, yeah, we're going to be sponsored by Red Bull.
Do a Felix drop.
Oh, yeah. Is he dead now? Am I right in thinking he died?
I don't... Not from that.
No.
Did he have a...
I think he died from some other accident.
That feels sort of...
It's sort of like Steve Irwin, where it's like, at that stage, the only thing that's going to kill you is your career.
Yeah.
Your life's too diluted with high octane action for you to be killed in any other way.
Yeah, it's sort of, you want to go out on your shield in that profession, I feel. That's probably a really dark, like, no, you probably want to have a successful career and then die in, like, your bed surrounded by loved ones at age 90. But it doesn't feel like it tracks that way.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't want to die during War with a Mate.
No.
But by the same merit of, you know, Steve Irwin's mantra, if I die during a recording of an episode, keep it rolling. We've got to keep the action going until it's finished. The Common Ground section, admittedly, will be tough.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I don't think they released that footage, did they? I certainly haven't gone looking for it, but it feels like it would have drifted across my...
No, I don't think they've ever put it out there. I think his whole idea was always keep it rolling. If something happens to me, just keep the cameras going so we can document whatever this event is. But then when he died, his family understandably have went, don't put this out there.
Yeah.
No one wants to see, well, we certainly don't want people to see our loved one, our family member, killed by a stingray. Because that must be grisly as well. Yeah, I don't like the sound of that. I occasionally come across these... horrible, like, this is great Christmas talk. I occasionally come across these, like the audio of that person who was attacked by a bear.
Oh, from the documentary where the guy watches it.
I think so, yeah.
Where he's like, this is too horrible for me to... It's a Werner Herzog, where he's like, you can't see this, but you can watch me...
React to it. Yeah, stuff like that. I don't like the idea. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I think being eaten is just a terrible way to go. Yeah.
It might be how I'm using the internet now, or the internet's changed, but I feel like there's a lot less risk of, like, finding that stuff now.
Well, you don't
Whereas, like, when we were at school, it was, like...
Well, it was constant.
Horrific things being sent to each other.
Well, that's it. That was another thing.
People were looking for it.
It was the ecosystem of school, where you'd be... Bluetoothing each other ringtones and sending each other videos of people being beheaded, which is unfortunately
horrific.
For some reason part of the subculture that we grew up in the UK around that time, which is insane.
I think it was internet at that time.
Yeah.
It was still sort of Wild West. They didn't build the like Facebook highways and stuff.
Yeah, whereas now, I guess one area where that is still prevalent is apparently Twitter, which I've never had a Twitter. I've never used Twitter to any real extent. Occasionally I come across articles where I need to go onto Twitter and it locks me out because I don't have an account. And then sometimes on TikTok, because I admit, unfortunately, I do doom scroll through TikTok from time to time. Time to time being pretty much daily. And sometimes on there, you get flashbanged with a horrible video.
Yeah.
Usually around some sort of big event. I mean, Charlie Kirk's death, that's one that was just constantly being plastered all over TikTok. So that's unfortunate one I've had
it
the displeasure of
It does also seem like the entire war in Ukraine, everyone involved was wearing a GoPro.
That's another thing.
That entire war is just on the internet.
Well, that's a crazy thing. If you compare that to the North African campaign, I guess let's get a touch of relevance
let's
here.
Let's swing it back, shall we?
If you can attach a GoPro to any group in the North African campaign, who would you want to see that footage of? Again, this is, you know, hoping that we don't see the sort of grisly detail. But if you had to see like a conflict unfold from their POV, which would that be?
I think I've won a lot, but
Because I think the
interesting perspective would be SAS.
Yes. Long Range Desert Group.
Yeah.
I think just seeing how... I'd like to see how quick it actually translates in real time, like the repairs, how frequent they need to make the repairs, just how all of that actually looks in the moment.
Yeah.
Compared to...
Also, if you were following the Long Range Desert Group, you just get, like, vistas, like, from June. Like, a lot of it is just them driving through somewhere that is dangerous but visually beautiful.
Yeah, as long as it's, like, a clear day, you're going to see some incredible sights.
Yeah.
So I guess you get that. You get some beautiful screensaver images, and you get to see some of the most, I imagine, adrenaline-infused action that you'll come across in a situation where it's not just straight combat immediately.
Yeah.
Because bombing through the desert in one of those vehicles, having to repair it, having a sip of a mouthful of lemonade to get you by.
Yeah. And then the other end is like just the sort of grunt infantryman.
Yes.
Where you like get out of a truck and it's like, oh, apparently we're near Bardia. And then there's just artillery going off and tanks rumbling around and stuff.
Yeah, to understand the how accurate, you know, sort of war films and stuff is, you know, like we watched a video a few weeks ago where it was someone, I think they were from the SAS, weren't they?
Oh, yes. It's one of those, yeah, we watched one of those videos where like someone reacts to their profession on a...
Like a film. Like,
I think it's GQ or Vanity Fair or whatever. But yeah, they do the like expert reacts and it was, yeah, the SAS guy.
And there was a bunch of films he'd looked at and some TV shows, and for the most part, he had some critiques to throw out there. And one of them was Saving Private Ryan, which I've always understood to be praised, because I've only seen it a couple of times, and it was a while ago. But it's always praised for the D-Day scene.
Yeah.
Where it's just so visceral, and you know, people are being absolutely torn to shreds by the guns on the embankment.
Yeah.
And... you know, that's not
and
necessarily
the chaos, yeah.
That's not necessarily something I'd like to see no. POV. But what I would like is the almost a simulation of the
how?
Claustrophobia of being under like a hail of bullets and artillery fire, and just to understand the sensory experience of that in a safe environment
yeah.
where I don't actually have to be there. I can't imagine how like the noise must just be so overwhelming. Your senses must just shut that out almost.
I feel like
to filter it.
Noise like that, for me, when it reaches a certain point, just becomes like a wall where the shouting's woven into it, but the words lose their meaning.
Yeah.
Like, and that's nothing I've experienced that's even close to that, but it just becomes a singular sort of sound.
Yeah, because I've had it before when I've been in situations where, you know, it's been intense, and I don't know if this is... I doubt this is unique to me because I'm a person and my body reacts the same way to stimulus as others. But do you ever have it where in like a moment where like time slows down a little bit and it feels like your field of view expands?
Yeah, you like pull everything in.
Yeah, it almost feels like you can like view everything in your peripheral completely clearly as if you're looking directly at it. And I don't know if that's just the way like that information is processed in the brain when some sort of chemical is released. But it's just such a weird sensation. Because I had a DIY mishap very recently where I was drilling some holes into a wall and I hit a water pipe. And it was the first time using power tools as well. So embarrassing. And I hit a water pipe and thankfully nothing too severe, but the water burst out. It was the last hole I needed to make. And hit this water pipe and water just burst out. And it was just a constant stream for a good 5 seconds. And as I was watching that, I was like, the house is flooded. I've ruined this house. Like, everything's ruined.
Yeah.
And everything went in slow motion. My field of view just expanded massively.
Which is not helpful for plugging a hole behind a wall.
I need to see one specific point very clearly. I don't need to see everything in yeah. the room. But then the water started to pour downstairs. Like, it was coming through the ceiling fixtures for the light. And in that moment, like, the adrenaline that kicks in. It's very funny that my body reacted to that in that way. And there's people who've been in wars where they've probably reacted a similar way, maybe even calmer because they're used to it.
Yeah.
And my body's just like, this is the most terrifying thing that can ever happen. You've hit a water pipe. Oh, it was a radiator one as well. So it
was just horrible.
Stunk horribly. Because it's got whatever chemical they put in radiator water to make it heat up faster, maybe, or maintain heat longer.
I don't know what they do at water in radiators, but it's always sludge when you drain them.
It's like a black, like, tinted...
It does make you go, like, what is going on here? Because my understanding is you've just put water in here.
And then you heat it up in a metal container.
The water that comes out of all the other pipes in my house isn't filthy.
Yeah. Because it must be like a closed system.
Yeah.
Do you have to replace radiator water? Oh, I should probably find that out.
Boiler does, I think.
Where does it get the chemical from?
I don't know. I'm just so dumb.
We're just broadcasting how idiot we are. My God, that's even worse.
Incredibly basic questions that are just like information you should pick up being alive.
There's so much that you pick up through osmosis, but there's so much I've yet to learn.
Oh, yeah. And also, I think we've talked about this, is I also have the paranoia about doing things wrong.
I know exactly where this comes from.
Yes. Because there's a video, I think it's sort of an internet classic, of a guy on a podcast who sort of reveals that he makes a cup in his hand with toilet paper and then would shit into that and then, like, drop it into the toilet.
Which is so foul.
And it's, like, 3 minutes of, like, footage of, like, a guy finding out he's been shitting wrong his entire life. And as funny as it is, there is an element of, like, what basic thing that, like, you just sort of do in private? Am I just doing wrong?
If he spent his whole life thinking that's accurate and that's the way normal people do normal poo, then what have you been doing that you've just taken for granted?
Yeah.
Because going to the bathroom is quite unique in that it's always private. From, like, the moment you're toilet trained, that is now a personal private activity.
Yeah.
You're no longer a spectator. But there's also other areas of life where, depending on your lifestyle, you might end up doing it completely alone. Like, you know, this doesn't apply to you, but there's some people who'll have, like, meals on their own forever. Like, they'll never sit around other people and eat. They'll not go out to restaurants and eat.
Yes.
And, like, it's just maybe the way that you then eat a meal.
Like, yeah, you just hold a fork weird or, like...
Yeah. Like, because I do... This is a very small scale compared to that, but I always have... I've got my knife and fork in different hands. I always hold my fork in my right hand and my knife in my left, but I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
I don't know where that started from, but I can't do it the other way around. For some reason, trying to use a fork in my left hand, my brain just does not allow that to happen.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, no one's shown me how to brush my teeth since I was, like, 5.
Funny you mention that, actually.
I assume I'm doing it right, and it's, like, do it for 2 minutes, and, like... Could have, like, a terrible, like, technique where I'm not hitting stuff. For all I know, I'm, like, not doing it.
Well, there is actually a tip I got a little while ago, is when you're brushing, you need to be careful when you brush with your dominant hand, because one of your incisors at the front, you'll always miss, typically, when you're brushing, because of the way that you move with your dominant hand.
Oh.
So when you come in the other side...
You need to, like, do a swap.
Yeah, so it's sort of the incisor, I think it's the incisor on the side of your dominant hand, you'll tend to miss and not brush as thoroughly because of the angle that you come in. I'm imitating brushing my teeth now. I also saw a post a little while ago which said that you'll never feel more of a stranger to yourself than if you try and brush your teeth with your opposite hand. And I tried it, and it's right. It's such an odd experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel right. It feels so bizarre trying to brush your teeth with your opposite hand, because it's so janky.
Yeah. Have you ever tried using your mouse with the other hand?
Oh, no.
Move your...
Ooh, I'm trying it right now. And I know for a fact the issue here would be clicking the buttons.
Yeah.
I would mess that up so quick.
I'd like the movement isn't... You go over.
Yeah.
Or under, but whatever. Like, you've not... Your hand hasn't, like, synced up with your computer mouse.
Funny thing, actually, you mentioned mouses. I use my mouse like this. Don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
But, like, wherever the screen is, like, say it's directly in front like that, I don't use it directly pointing to the screen.
Yeah, I have mine at an angle as well.
Yeah, mine is almost... when I use a mouse, it's actually pointed sort of left.
Like
I
have 45 degrees from what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I've got it on my right hand, but I always point it to my left, which I don't know why, but that's become a bit of a stable. I think it's probably because I've always, during when we play D&D for the last like 10 years, whenever I use my mouse, it's usually resting on my laptop and there's not much room. So I just have this little space that I'm maneuvering within and there's no way for it to sit forward pointing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I've done. I've broke my my mouse maneuverability. Well, it's very... Yeah, this is a real patchwork episode because we figured we had time to make one and got to put something out there for you guys listening in. We thought we'll not dip into the mailbag. We'll save that for an occasion where we can dip into it more so. And we thought we'd forgo a history segment. We'll give Andy a little break this week. And I guess by the same nature, we don't need a common ground because Christmas is common ground.
We're just sort of chatting.
Yeah, we're just waxing lyrical about how life is and the things we get wrong. We don't get the game wrong, though.
Yeah.
Well, there's actually been...
we do get it wrong quite a bit.
Several occasions. I'd probably say it's been a dozen or more occasions where we've got it wrong. Well, I guess one thing we can go over, something that we've got planned for next year. We've got a new year coming up. New year, new me, except I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I think very much new year, same person. But we do have a bit of an additional project in the works, which we've been working on for a good few weeks, months now, which we're looking at rolling out next year.
Some point, yeah.
We don't have any solid time frame on it, but what we are looking at putting out for the future is, because we decided we enjoy recording the podcast for the game so much, why not throw some extra bonus things in there? So what we are going to be recording is an additional series, which will be from a solo POV, where it'll be one that I record individually, or Andy records individually, and it'll be fairly short, but it will be to give a bit of a breakdown as to what our current plans are for the game, and what our plans going forward are in terms of tactical aspects.
Yeah, and sort of talk about the stuff we're not going to want to reveal too much of when we're playing more competitively, where it's like, oh, this unit's actually starving, or I'm having a real supply issue here. And then also, yeah, it's like, I'm gearing up to attack here. This mess. Yeah, the private planning stuff almost.
Yeah, just an extra level of insight to the game, which will be particularly good when we get into the full playthrough, because it means when we aren't able to divulge the plans, which we've also stayed away from for the most part in this practice scenario. We don't get too granular with our upcoming plans. I feel like I'm always batting around the issue with very broad strokes. But this means we can talk in detail. We'll be editing them ourselves so the other person doesn't get to hear them. And it'll just be a sort of 5-10 minute thing. So that is one part of this that we're going to be putting out there at some point in the future. And another is a completely separate project from the game in a sense.
Kind of semi-related. We're going to do some sort of media around North Africa and World War II and sort of react to that, watch it, give a bit of analysis or just talk about it. So
yes, so we found some films, some TV shows, some various pieces of media that are ideally centric around the North African campaign. I'm sure we'll get a bit looser with that as time goes on, but that's what the focus is. So stuff that's related to the game that we're going to watch and then review. So do a sort of a watch podcast and break down our thoughts on that, how it compares to the game or how the thing is in and of itself.
And maybe some stuff about specific research on how accurate certain bits of media are.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice breakdown of a very different aspect of the history. So we got to touch on a bit of the history, we got to enjoy something else, and we got to pump out what we hope to be another episode each week. We're still figuring out the logistics of it. But what we are planning on doing is wrapping all of this in the umbrella of a Patreon. So that would be the plan, to get that, the watch aspect of things, as well as the personal predictions and insights.
Yeah, maybe occasionally some more, some stuff that's probably not a history segment, but because it's not quite related, but is interesting that might go. It's a lot of stuff where we don't want to clutter
the main
feed, but there's stuff we want to do.
Yes, because we'll always be releasing an episode for the game playthrough every single week until we finish, which is the rest of our lives. So that is always going to remain in the same structure. But we thought some extra bits and pieces for those interested. We enjoy doing it. We have it on good authority that other people enjoy hearing it. So it's something we're working on. We've got some material already in the works, but we just want to make sure we refine that before we think about putting it out.
And get a bit of a litmus test on interest.
Exactly. Want to make sure that it's what the people want. Yeah. And you, as the people, let us know if there is anything we can add in there, because we've got this the watch with a mate aspect of things and the personal insights to the game, a few other history aspect and things to smatter in as bonus material also. So we're looking at regular bonus stuff, but we also want to make sure we're delivering stuff that people have a direct interest in as well. So let us know if there's anything else you'd be interested in, and we'll see how we can wrangle that in, see how we can fit that in with our time, and how we can make it realistic for us to commit more time to things. That's kind of what this plan is.
Because we enjoy doing it, but it's hard to carve out time. But if we have a bit of more reason, it's more justifiable to people in our lives that we need to spend 2 days a week.
Yeah, we need to rally this and petition it towards the other aspects of our lives and explain why it's fine for us to do this. So that's coming up. That'll be fun. I think we've got a good year ahead of us, Andy, because we are going to be definitely finishing the scenario.
100%.
We will be starting the main game, which means we'll be doing all of this all over again.
Yep. Also, this time next year, we'd look to probably be releasing our templates that we've worked on through the scenario, and then we'll refine over the first few turns of the main game. So ideally, that'll speed us up massively, but could also make the game more accessible to any fans, because people have said they've got an interest. So if we could make the 20-turn scenario, or even the 6-turn scenario, something more manageable so more people get a chance to play, I think that would be a cool thing to do.
Yeah, if anyone out there decides to buy this game, if for some reason you've taken this not as a cautionary tale but as some sort of inspiration, which we really decry as an idea, then it means you have a bit of an easier way to get a hold of playing it rather than just starting from scratch. Although starting from scratch is part of the fun. Also give that a go, perhaps.
That's another thing for the potential Patreon, because we've had a lot of people write in about other board games.
Yes.
Where they've said we're inspired, but we're not doing the whole hog, so we've bought some. So it'd be cool to do some reviews of other...
Yeah, I think...
Maybe more bite-sized board gaming, and potentially some wargamey stuff where it's not going to be a month to finish, but we could play, if we get an extra day here or there.
Yeah, it means we can delve into some games that are a bit more accessible and aren't the hardest or longest board game of all time.
Yeah.
Means we can play something that might actually be fun from go, start to finish, with no lull periods.
And a finished game in a day.
Yeah, I shouldn't be going through the 5 stages of grief regularly every time I'm playing a board game. So it'll be nice to just play one where it is just a game and it's just a bit of fun.
But we won't be doing, is it Code Blue?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're not paralleling a comparable game.
Yes. That's
a level of insanity our brains can't handle.
Yeah, we're not doing a bonus run where we do the same thing twice. We don't have that in us. No. We just can't be doing... I say that. I didn't think I'd be doing this. Who knows what the future holds, but there's no plans for that.
No.
Code Blue can stay where it is for now. We're not getting
someone else can pick that up.
Yeah, that's a different podcast. Whoever wants to do that, give it a go. So we've got that. We've got end of scenario. We've got bonus content. We've got main game begins. We do predict there'll be a hiatus, not in releasing episodes. We'll still do that for the main run, but a hiatus between finishing the scenario and starting the main game while we refine our templates, our spreadsheets, the way we organize things so that we can produce some very clear and accessible material for everyone to follow the game along.
Yeah. We're also going to make rule. We're going to go over the rules again once we've actually played the game.
Yeah, when make, we finish like, the scenario.
Cheat sheets for this is combat, this is trucks, this is air stuff. So there's like a sheet for each bit that we'll collect rules from throughout the book.
Yes.
For our convenience. And again, we'll share all of that stuff.
Exactly. A hiatus for a few weeks, maybe a couple months at worst, yeah. And make sure that we've got a fully refined system so that we can put out pictures of the game regularly. We can put out the sheets that we're using so people can follow along with how our units are getting on. And just all of the granular stuff that we've been really eager to put out there that is at the moment too jumbled to put out there reliably without confusing our situation even further.
Yeah, a lot of it's currently spread through notebooks and stuff, but
Excel spreadsheets, notebooks. I've got stuff on my notes page.
Sticky
on my phone.
Notes, yeah.
Keeping track of water evaporation and usage. So there's just a whole host of stuff that we need to be able to put out there in a really easy to understand format. And we'll also be looking at some point next year, I would imagine, of doing some sort of stream, some live section of a game, probably a combat.
Yeah.
So that's something that, again, it's sort of blue sky thinking for that we need to figure out how we'd actually show the game.
Position a camera. Maybe a live stream or the first time we do it, it might be on the YouTube, just so we've got a bit of editing and work out the process before we do it live.
Well, yes, a video before a live, yeah. There's a few iterations of what we'll get to there, but a lot of people have asked if we could show the game live in action. So we'd pick a section that isn't going to just be bookkeeping, because then it's just an episode of the podcast, but quieter. So instead, we'll find an air combat or land combat.
We could maybe do an air combat, a land, even a truck.
if they want to see Truck Day, we'll do Truck Day.
Yeah, like chunk it up a sort of different steps of the game. Give you a more, not just us talking about it, but an experience of like how it is when we're actually playing.
Yeah, because I think being able to share that side of things, it gives a more well-rounded experience. Hearing us rant and rave about it every week as we either excitedly or depressingly talk about what's gone on for that week. It's one way to digest it, but occasional sprinklings of different experience, I feel, gives an idea as to what we're actually up to each week, the life that we have going through this game and what it is. Because the idea is to detail the experience of playing this.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just the outcome of the game, but what it's like to play a game like this over this long period of time.
Yeah,
which I think realistically could work with any game if you played it long enough. It could work. We could have been smart and done it with Dungeons & Dragons since we love that game, but instead we picked a game we hadn't played before and is, by a lot of metrics on paper, not a fun game.
Yeah. Well, I guess the space for this game isn't filled with professional voice actors and improv people and very talented.
That's a good
people
point.
Doing D&D stuff.
Yeah, the USP is here in that it's not done by anyone else. The only big question mark out there is Veilfisk, will he ever release his video of playing the game? Because that's all I see online when I'm checking up to see if there's any updates on people playing the game.
Well, when we spoke to Cam like 6 months ago, he was like, "Oh, he's teased it for next week," and then we were eagerly awaiting.
And now I'm looking back because there's a big meme on the whole. Veilfisk, for anyone who's not aware, is he's got a YouTube channel. I think maybe some streams as well, and is a big gaming fan. He does all these obscure versions of various well-known board games.
Yeah, where he adds like a weird spin.
So it's like 5D chess. Dominion or something?
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy.
Where
yes.
Where he has the AI.
Yes,
that one's very good.
I'd really recommend it. I mean, the guy doesn't need us shouting him out because he's massive in terms of following. But if you're not aware of him, some very interesting stuff on there. But it's been a big meme that he's going to make a video on Campaign for North Africa and that it's just a week away. And now I'm looking back. When we spoke to Cam, he said, "I don't know if you've seen, but it looks like next week he's going to release a video."
Yeah.
I don't know if Cam was pulling our leg with that.
I think he was in on the meme and we weren't, yeah.
He could well have been. So I think Cam might have had us there. But either way, that video coming out could be interesting. See if someone else does actually tackle it. And someone who's got the resource and budget to really tackle it. unlike our subtle, humble, and brave selves, where we're just fumbling around in the dark until we get there. But we've made good headway.
Oh, yeah.
We're crushing it, man.
I mean, we are. We're speeding it up.
We are. We're speeding into it. We're nearly halfway through the scenario. That's crazy. Halfway through.
That's nuts.
It's a massive accomplishment. What a year it's been. And my New Year's resolution is to finish the scenario and start the game properly.
Yes, that's not a New Year's resolution. That has to happen. That can't be it.
If that doesn't happen...
That can't be it. Oh, I've let that one go.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's why it's such an easy resolution to have, because it has to be the case.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then we've, I guess, stopped doing this. We've fallen out, or one of us has died.
Yeah.
The game was consumed in a fire, and all the other copies have been bought up.
Can't happen.
It can happen. I wouldn't like it to, but it can. Anything can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess that covers up a lot of what we had to talk about in terms of actual logistics and game updates, project updates. And we're keeping people around Christmas time. We should probably let them get on with it, and I guess get on with our stuff as well.
Yeah, we just wanted to put a quick one up, so...
We thought we'd put something out there, just a little bite-sized episode. I mean, this is like the length of the old ones.
Yeah.
Early days. But whatever you're doing this time of year, I hope it's fun. Hope it's enjoyable. And if you've got any board games for Christmas, let us know what they are. And I really hope you don't say Campaign for North Africa, because that is a bad Christmas present.
Hey, it's one of those Christmas presents that's fun for years. It's not like something consumable, like a bottle of whiskey. Or like chocolates, it's...
Yeah, I guess a bottle of whiskey will...
You'll be enjoying that Christmas gift for the rest of your life.
A bottle of whiskey would definitely help you get through this thing. The spreadsheets would be a mess. But mine are anyway.
To be fair, it might be a more realistic experience, because a lot of them were drunk as hell.
Rightly so.
And then a lot of the Germans were on meth.
Yeah.
But Rommel, big fan of meth, apparently.
Yeah, well,
he
I guess...
He called it his daily bread.
I bet his will be an interesting history segment.
Yes, the Crystal Fox.
That was a good game show. Well, I hope you all enjoy your festive period, and we'll pick up with you before the new year, and we'll gear up for whatever that holds. But until then, I've been James.
I've been Andy. Thanks for listening. Stay subtle, humble, and brave.
In those festive deserts of your mind. Good night.